Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, Radio Family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that we're able to be together again, and especially that you made time in your schedule to be with me. Praise God. Well, I want to continue on sharing a message on consecration, and we were looking at the vow of the Nazarite found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. And one of the first things we note about this vow was that it was voluntary. A man or a woman could separate themselves unto the Lord for a specified period of time. Now, another aspect of this Nazarite vow, that it was entire. It was not half-hearted. Someone was willing to go all the way with the Lord. And when we think about it, beloved, there can be no acceptable consecration to God that is not complete and entire. There was a complete separation from the unclean. Now, by way of review, let me just mention that there were three specific things that were required by the Nazarite. Number one, they had to abstain from wine and strong drink or anything associated with the fruit of the vine, as grapes or raisins. Secondly, their hair must not be cut. And thirdly, they must not touch or come near a dead body. And so, what does that represent? There was a complete separation from the unclean. To touch the unclean, like a dead body, was to bring instant defilement and mar their holy relationship with God. The dead, is that not true, belong to another world? So the Nazarite must not pollute himself with any deadening thing or dead thing. Jesus said of his disciples, "They're not of this world, even as I am not of this world." John 15:1 says, "I've chosen you out of the world." And 2 Corinthians 6:14-17 says, "Wherefore, come you out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And here we see, of course, it's symbolic, but death is linked with sin, and of course, sin represents defilement. And so that's why there was this stipulation that it had to be complete, and there wasn't a half-hearted dedication, but that they could not get near or be near a dead person. In fact, as you go on to read that chapter, I won't take the time, but if someone died accidentally, or if he was in a situation, well, in fact, verse 9, if any man die very suddenly by him, and he hath defiled the head of his consecration, then it goes on to say what he has to do. He has to bring offerings, and basically, all those, the time that he was separated to the Lord, it doesn't count. In verse 12, it says, because his separation was defiled. It was a very serious thing, even when it wasn't purposive. You see, God feels that strongly about sin. We should have a hatred for sin. Why? Because that is what sent Jesus to the cross. We need to hate the things that God hates. God loves people, but he hates sin, and we must hate sin in ourselves as well as in others, seeking to bring them into the ark of safety. Now, what's another aspect of this vow? Well, it was an open profession. They weren't ashamed of making that vow, and there was an actual physical aspect that identified them as a Nazarite. And what was that? They couldn't cut their hair. Verse 5 says, all the days of the vow of his separation, of course that's his or her separation, there shall no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled, which he separateth himself unto the Lord. Now, listen to this. It was the custom of Hebrew men to trim their hair or cut the hair, much as the modern Western man does today. In 2 Samuel, the 14th chapter, verse 26, it talks about David's son Absalom, who polled, P-O-L-L-E-D, his head. And in this context, it means to cut the hair from the head. Now, on the other side, Israelites were not to shave their hair so closely that they resembled the heathen gods who had shaven heads. Nor, listen to this, they weren't to resemble the Nazarites who refused to cut their hair at all. So, as we look at now in New Testament times, as we can understand from the writings of Paul, long hair on men was considered to be contrary to nature. There's a reference in 1 Corinthians 11:14. Nonetheless, what I'm sharing with you is that the stipulation of not cutting one's hair for the Nazarite, that was an outward sign. It was a public testimony to his character and consecration to God. The Nazarite has nothing to be ashamed of, but he does not walk as other men walk. He's peculiar. He's set apart. And beloved, perhaps I should mention, you know, there are those, I know Brother Glass used to share about this all the time because he grew up that way, about clothesline religion. Beloved, the length of one's skirt or the length of one's sleeve or how one wears one's hair is not a sign of spirituality. Now, of course, we need to abide by the standards of Scripture. People should be dressing modestly. However, it's not a matter of what one wears or doesn't wear, but it represents an attitude of the heart that we are set aside to the Lord and we don't partake of the things of the world. In fact, if we really love God, the word says the love of the Father is not in a person if they love the world because they're diametrically opposed. Beloved, a consecrated life is a life that cannot be set under a bushel. And love is that distinguishing mark that separates us as a people set apart for God. What did Jesus say? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. And so, beloved, what is the vow of the Nazarite? It's voluntary. That's important to remember, that it was complete, it wasn't half-hearted, it was entire, and it was an open profession. The unwillingness to cut one's hair was a sign of that consecration. And of course, as we look now at yet another aspect, the vow of the Nazarite involves great self-denial. Abstinence from strong drink or wine was the same as for the priests when they went into the tabernacle. That was one of the stipulations, that priests were not to drink wine or strong drink when they went into the tabernacle. And so it was even greater self-denial because not only intoxicating wine or strong drink, but everything which was derived from the vine, from the kernels to the husk. That includes grapes or raisins. I mean, that shows a tremendous willingness to deny self. And so in practice, for in those days, it meant a giving up of the only luxury that was readily available to all in that day. So the meaning, beloved, of the Nazarite vow was an act of self-sacrifice. The fruit of the vine may be very sweet, but he or she who took that vow couldn't touch it. If a father, if a mother or sister or a brother die, he or she cannot go to see them or go near them to bury them. That was extreme self-denial. These things were lawful for others, but they were not expedient for the Nazarite during the time of his separation. And beloved, we see there's a parallel in terms of fasting, for example. However, God would move upon you to fast. Some people, in terms of strict definition, fasting means an abstinence from food. But there's many different types of fast in the Bible. There's the complete fast, which is not to be gone on longer than 3 days, fasting from water or food, as, for example, Esther. There's the fast of a prolonged length. For example, Jesus' fast of water. There was, well, of course, I'm thinking of now of Moses. That was a supernatural fast. He was in the presence of the Lord, and he drank neither water or had food for 40 days and nights. There's no way anybody could do that unless it was totally supernatural. And, of course, he was in God's presence. But then there's the Daniel fast, eating, for example, vegetables, or what I frequently do is a juice fast, just vegetable juices, fruit juices, and herbal teas unsweetened. And so there's many different kinds of fasts. People can fast television. People can fast a particular something they enjoy doing as unto the Lord. Why? It's just a way of drawing closer to the Lord. And so, beloved, for all of us, God may place on your heart a period or a time of self-denial where our natural inclinations, the things we enjoy, give place to the Word of God. Self-denial, the consecrated life, means not my will, but thine be done. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 37 through 39, Jesus declared, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." How difficult, beloved, for the carnal mind to understand the things of God. Amen. Praise God. But God is calling us, I believe, those who have ears to hear, into a deeper place of consecration and commitment to the Lord. Well, my time is again flown by, and I have to bring this broadcast to a close, but not without inviting you to share your prayer requests with me. Whatever you're going through, believe me, I've been in ministry a long time, and I can understand and I can read between the lines. It's good to get answers to prayer. I have a letter here from a sister writing from Springfield, Missouri, and she writes, "Dear Sister Judith, I'm sending you a praise report. God answered our prayers, and I now have gone back to work, and 5 days a week. I had a very hard season through the winter months, but God has brought me through. Love and prayers, a sister writing from Springfield, Missouri." Praise God. Well, the announcer is going to give you our contact information. Thank you for joining me, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.